Well, again, I ask for your prayers, Lord, to be with us this evening. Bless these little minutes we spend together. On the board, God's omniscience. Now, omniscience means all-knowing, knowing everything. So this evening, by the help of the Lord, I'd like for us to visit that topic for a little bit. I want to say, before I begin any comments or the burden of the message, I'm thankful for those who have gone before, who have studied in the Scriptures. I'm thankful for those who have shared their thoughts and have been willing to share them in writing. I find that to be a great benefit. Many of the things that I have on my mind here this evening are not all original to me. They come from those who have been ahead of me in ministry and have studied. But in reading and studying some of the information, I found it to be a real blessing and a challenge to me. And it, in many ways, helped open some understanding in my own mind about the God that we deal with. Never will we understand everything about Him. He is His ways, as Scripture tells us, His ways are past tracing out. That His thoughts are so high above our thoughts, and His ways above our ways, that it's just not possible for these little finite creatures that we are to be able to attain to all of the knowledge and understanding of who God really is. But suffice it to say that we know that He is a powerful God. And we also know that He is capable of doing anything that He chooses to do. And I think that's one of the very important things to take away from this little visit this evening, that God is able to do anything that He chooses or wants to do. He has the power, omnipotent, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God. So, that being said, our Lord's help, we'll look into this little subject this evening. And I've asked myself some questions before. Maybe it's because my mind is curious and I kind of sometimes get myself in trouble by thinking questions in my mind concerning God and His dealings with man and how it all works. But I also find that there are times when He sits me down in a corner and says, the secret things belong to me. Just believe, just trust. The secret things belong to me. And if I wanted you to know and I wanted you to understand the whole picture, I would reveal it to you. But there are things that belong only to me and I reserve to myself. Well, He has that right. Because that's part of His omnipotence. That's part of His omnipresence and His omniscience. He has the power to do whatever He will with everything that is at His disposal. So, one of the questions I've asked in my own mind, just how much does He know about our ultimate end? Does He know if I'm going to make it to heaven or if I'm going to be cast into hell? Does He already know that? Did He know that Adam and Eve would transgress in the garden? When He created them, did He already know that they would transgress? Now, we say He knows everything. He is omniscient. All right? Did He know what choice they would make when He created them? Those are questions I ask in my own mind. And I find that, borrowing from a comment of Brother Austis Wilson, when we finite creatures, with our little finite minds, endeavor to analyze and categorize God, we can't go very far until we're left swinging in midair. when we try to analyze and categorize Him, folks, as I remember Sister Karen saying to us many times, you can't put God in a box. It won't work. He doesn't fit there. He works outside of the box. So, with those questions being asked and considered this evening, how much does He know about our ultimate end? Did He know that Adam and Eve would transgress? Did He know what choice they would make when He created them? Well, we have something to do with our eternal future. We're charting out our own path, our own future, day by day, right now, by decisions and choices that we make. Book of Galatians chapter 6, begin here with a few verses, 6 and 7 and 8, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. These verses are familiar to us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is a clear indication from the Scripture that I have a definite part to play in what happens in my life, what happens in my future. Now, can God change and turn all that around? If God wanted to make everything where I had no ability to choose, I had no options in this, He could do that. But that would take away my will. That would take away my ability to love Him and serve Him from my own free will of heart. And that's not why God created man. He didn't create man to make him an automaton, to make him a robot where he was incapable of thinking and processing and just only doing His bidding and what He chose for him to do. He didn't make him that way. He gave him choice. He set before him choice. So the Scripture tells us, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Very clear indication that I take responsibility for those things that I do in my own life, and those things that I do have a direct impact on what my eternal existence will be. Do I take those things out of God's hand? Would I make those kinds of choices? Or does He have enough understanding, and does He have enough love for me just to allow me to make my own choices and set up a remedy so that I can be redeemed, I can be saved if I will? Matthew 7, 2, very familiar verse to us, words of the Master. Judge not, verse 1 and 2, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Another indication that the way that I approach my affairs in life, dealing with myself and with my fellow man, has a direct impact on how I am going to be reckoned with by others and by God. So I am charting my own course, if you will. Many times, I'm able to, by my choices and decisions, I'm able to do those things that are making an impact for my future. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There isn't anything hidden from God. There isn't anything secret from God. Ecclesiastes 12:14. We'll turn and read that one right quick. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we know that there are things that are not hidden from God. There are no secret things that God does not know about you and me. He is fully capable of knowing everything that He needs to know about humanity, about your life, my life. And what really is a blessing to me is to know that even though God knows so many things, and even though He is fully capable of knowing all things, and after reading and studying some of the information that Brother Austis has put in his question and answer session, I found it to be such a blessing to be able to read through the account there where someone presented a question and his response was that there are things that you and I will never know about God. But he said that at this time, I'm not convinced that he knows everything about our end. He said, I'm not convinced that God knows everything about our ultimate end. He says, I do not in any way diminish or discount His omniscience in saying this. I recognize He has the power to know the ultimate end of every one of the billions of people of earth, but I do not feel that He chooses to exercise that power. Now there's, to me, something that really stands out. He could know, but He chooses. The divine mind, in dealing honestly and fairly and uprightly with mankind, chooses to not know the end of things as they will be, but chooses rather to deal honestly and sincerely with every man because He has made a plan of salvation, as we talked about a little while this morning, that is a whosoever will plan. If God knew and He acted upon the impulse of knowing that, I'm going to use myself for an example. If He knew that the end of my journey, I was doomed to hell, how would He deal with me? Think about it. If He knew that at the end of my journey, I was destined to eternal damnation, how would the plan of salvation of whosoever will work for me? It kind of falls under the category of election. Those who have been determined to be a part of God's elect and those who have been excluded. There are those who believe that there is only a certain number that will be allowed, and that God has chosen there will be only a certain number, and He has already predetermined who it is that will make it inside of His heaven. And all the others, folks, if He's chosen 50% of this group in this building this evening, to make it inside of His heaven, and the other 50% are doomed to hell, then there's nothing you can do about it. That'd be a depressing situation, wouldn't it? But the divine mind of God, knowing that there was a plan needed for salvation for mankind, and knowing that it was possible for man to accept that or reject that, if He does know or can know what my eternal situation will be, He chooses not to act upon that and chooses to put those kinds of things out of His mind. We serve a God, folks, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing. And if He can know, if He has the ability to know all things, then certainly by that same power He has the ability to put out of His divine mind those things that He does not need to know or doesn't want to know, to deal honestly and fairly with mankind. I tell you, these are the kinds of things that cause me to sometimes just kind of shrink down a little corner when I think about how God deals with humanity. How is He going to work with humanity? Look at Hebrews 2 and 9. Back up a couple of pages in Hebrews. He says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." Listen to these words. "Crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." For every man. How could that be said if God knew that my eternal destruction was hell? If He knew that my eternal destination, rather, was hell, how could He say that He should taste death for every man? If He knew that it was not possible for me to make it inside, because that's just where I was destined and doomed to go, how could the Word say it should taste death for every man? In Revelation 22:17, Scripture says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let him that is athirst say, 'Come.' Let him that is athirst, 'Come.' And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will. When I think of the words that the Lord says in His Scripture and how He deals with humanity and the love and the mercy that He has shown in extending all of the long-suffering and extending to us the blood of His Son Jesus, a perfect sacrifice, should taste death for every man. And Jesus said, His own words, John 3:16-17, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Those are indications that God, the divine mind, if He does have the ability to know and understand all of these things, which I believe He does, He also has the power to dismiss those things, because He knows what's best for you and me. Another little line from Brother Austin's writing. In other words, I believe God knows everything He wants to know and needs to know to properly handle His affairs and deal with every man as He would, in all fairness and mercy. Let me say it this way. If I believe that God has the power to know everything, then by the same token, I believe He has the power to put out of His mind anything He wants to put out of it, and to not know anything He doesn't want to know. Again, folks, we're dealing with God who is so much greater than you and me, who has the ability to approach things with you and me, with humanity, in an unbiased position. The fact of the matter is, folks, we can say it all we want to. We can say we're not prejudiced, and we can say we're unbiased. But the truth of the matter is, we see things and we understand things through the light and the prism of those things that we have been taught through our lives. What we see and understand to be right, those are things that we have had presented to us. And we measure and discern and determine what's right and wrong by those things that have been instilled into us from childhood up to date. Those are the things that cause us to respond and react the way that we do, because those are things that are instilled in us. Those are things that we are taught. Those are things that you and I deal with. We deal with those things when we're dealing with trying to make decisions concerning one way or the other. The understanding I have, whatever bias I might have, we would like to say I am totally unbiased, but I would ask ourselves to ask a question: can I honestly say that? Can I honestly say that I can approach every situation with no bias? that I don't have an idea in my mind of what I would like to see. But we are serving a God who approaches, I believe with all of my heart, everything to do with humanity completely and totally unbiased. Sets before us the opportunity to choose one way or the other. I make that choice. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, those choices are for you and me to follow. One or the other. I'm the one that makes that decision. He sets before me. Joshua made the comment, I set before you this day. One or the other. Choose life. Choose life. He said, I set this before you. Choose life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brother Ostis also said this. One brother said he was praying about this very thing and asking God if he really knew everything. He said, God answered him and said, I know everything I want to know. And that seems to me a reasonable premise in this regard. And then he says this, and I'll say that, read this in closing. To say that God absolutely knew what Adam and Eve would do and all the doleful and devastating consequences of it all would be to reduce the whole human and spiritual drama to a kind of war game situation between God and the devil, to see which one could outdo the other, and to set men up in the middle as a target to catch the full brunt of the whole operation and as a prize for the winner. Folks, we're more than that to God. Humanity, mankind, is God's crown jewel of creation. He gave to him the ability to think and reason. This is not a game to God. It may be to the enemy of our souls doing everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. It may be everything to the enemy of our souls because he wants to do everything he can to deceive and cause all kinds of treachery in life. But I do not believe that it's that way with our Heavenly Father. That he looks down upon his creation and he decided that he was going to create man and know exactly what it was going to be with man, how it was all going to end up with man, how it would end up with you, how it would end up with me, and put us in that situation as though we're just the target in the middle between him and the devil as a prize to be gained at the end of it all. We're more than that to God. Much more than that to God. We are, yes, a prize to him because we are his creation. We're a prize in the regard that he loves us so much that he created us with so much ability. And he wants us to use those every abilities that he has given to us to make decisions, rational, reasonable, informed decisions about how we approach things in life. And it's one of the reasons, folks, that through revelation, he has given us his word. And he has given us the ability to have understanding about his word, so that we can make those kinds of reasonable choices, informed choices and decisions in life. It's not a game. Never has been a game. Never will be a game to God. But I thank God for the divine mind, for his abilities, all the power that he has. And as the brother said, when he was in prayer asking God about, do you know everything? And God says, I know everything I need to know or I want to know. I just have to say, I believe that. I trust him. I can believe that whatever he needs to know, whatever he wants to know, he does know. And whatever he knows would be detrimental in his dealings, as if we can even comprehend it, that God is able to put that out of his mind and it doesn't impact him whatsoever in his dealings with mankind. Can I say this evening, I am thankful that we serve a God who is unbiased and unprejudiced, Because if it weren't for that, I would be in a world of hurt. I'd be in a world of hurt. Because I have done many things in the course of my life where I know that I have displeased Him. And I've had to go back to Him and say, I'm sorry. Lord, will You please have mercy on me and have mercy on my soul? And will You forgive me what it is that I have done? And I've had to go back to people and say, I'm sorry. Will You please forgive me? And thank God that in His divine mind, He is able to allow His plan to work. Now, there will come a time when all is said and done, and the choices have been made, and the die is cast, and there is no more opportunity to go back and amend. There will come a time when it's all done. And whatever choices I have made in my life, they follow me to the very end of the journey. And those things will determine whether or not I will make it inside of God's heaven. But it will not be because of any prejudice or bias that He has had against me or towards me. It will only be because the divine mind and His righteous judgment sees the differences and has given me every opportunity first to make amends. Only then, if I have chosen to go against those things, will I be doomed to eternal damnation. But after God has done everything that could possibly be done for me to have amendment in my life, I thank God for His love and mercy to us. I thank You for Your time and attention this evening. I trust these few little thoughts will spur some other thinking in our minds to know we serve a magnificent God. A magnificent God. One that is, as the Scripture says, when I read these words, and even now as I read these Scriptures and meditate on them, they have much deeper meaning. My thoughts are not Your thoughts. My ways are not Your ways. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than Your thoughts, and my ways than Your ways. Because He is God. And He is everything He needs to be under the category of omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He is everything that He needs to be under those categories. And I can just trust Him to be God. Thank You for Your time and attention this evening. God bless each one is my prayer. Amen.